Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach Riddle. I'm here with Laura Heck. Today, we're talking about how to ruin your marriage. I'm a big fan of reverse engineering, learning about as much as you can about what's going wrong in order for it to point you toward what's going right. I found an article, though, from a guy several years old who was twice divorced and was giving advice to his sister on the eve of her wedding. And he comes up with 16 different ways to ruin your marriage. And I just found it really insightful and thought-provoking. So we're going to pick a few of those and chat about them. And as always, it's a cool conversation. Stick around.
Ah, I have so much to do today. And this is the third time we have recorded this podcast. It better be darn tootin' good. That's all I have to say.
I think it's going to be great. why do you have so much to do today?
Because I am going to Maui tomorrow. I know I sound like so crestfallen saying that, but sometimes vacation is so hard.
Do you know what's super weird?
What?
I wrote an email last night to, doesn't really matter, but I used the word crestfallen, which I don't think I've used in like 10 years.
And now you've heard it twice in 2 days.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I heard me do it and then I heard you do it. And I'm like, holy wow. The universe is conspiring to bring back crestfallen.
I'm actually pretty impressed. I mean, you're the one with like the crazy vocabulary that I used it just sort of out of the blue. Because in the previous episodes that we have recorded and had to dump, I couldn't figure out if I wanted to say hamper, tamper, whatever right it was.
On. Okay.
Anyway, I have a laundry list of stuff that, like honeydews that I need to get done.
I'm really sorry that you have to go to Maui tomorrow.
Wah, wah. Well, you know what? Here's the thing that I had asked you is we're going in for 4 full days. So it's a very short Maui trip, but that's how I like my vacations is to be kind of like a long weekend. Huh. And my husband has planned to golf 3 out of 4 of those days. And that was him reeling it back in. That was him saying like, oh, you mean I shouldn't golf 4 or 5 times while we're there? I just need to know, ladies, gentlemen, what do we think about that? Should I be frustrated about it? Should I honor the fact that my husband, it's his probably, vacation too?
Probably. Yeah. I would think so. Yeah. Especially because that just means you have to hang out with your kid all by yourself all day long.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I think the thing is with golfing, it's a 4-hour endeavor, or at least that's what my husband tells me. Cause it doesn't take me that long when I golf, but it just takes him away for almost the entire time. But I also know that we all, oh my gosh, how funny is this? I feel like he's listening to me. My phone just vibrated and it was an invitation. Ryan Golf Wailea on Sunday. Just wanted to remind me.
Oh, it's not him inviting you. It's just like, reminding you.
It's just an FYI. Yeah. I'm not going to be present. Anyway, so you're getting ready to go down to Mexico.
Yep.
And that's with the whole family, right?
The 4 of us are going. Yeah, we're excited. Yeah. And all of us, our mantra right now is we just need to get on a plane. Like everything is so crazy at the moment. Like just get us on a plane.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know about you, but when we go on vacation, there's very little planning. We literally as long as we know where we're staying, there's no planning that goes into it. We get on the airplane and then we show up and that's when we go, okay, now what are we going to do?
Yeah. We go every other year to Cabo. So we have a handful of things that are just kind of like our standards, like our standard go-to places and our meals that we eat. And I think I've told you this, we have a magician.
Yes, you have. You've talked about your magician.
If you're ever going on vacation to Cabo San Lucas, you should contact me and I will help you get the magician who is amazing. He'll come to your dinner in town and he'll just do tricks at your table for like 20 minutes and it'll blow your mind. I promise.
I'm so distracted because I keep getting all of these calendar invites that my husband keeps sending me of him going golfing. Hey, we have something that we're actually going to talk about today.
Yeah. And I kind of feel badly. I feel a little bit badly because here we are sort of celebrating the opportunities that we have to connect with our spouses, and especially in some exotic environments that many people maybe don't get the opportunity to do. And then we're about to lean into this topic, which is how to completely ruin your marriage.
Let me tell you, first of all, you make a bunch of golf commitments without your wife.
First of all, you spend 75% of your vacation away from the people that you went on vacation with.
Exactly. That is one way to blow it. I can't.
Is it just the three of you? I mean, are you going to play golf?
I don't enjoy golf. Like when I think about 4 days that we were members of a golf club that is 1 mile from our house. So golfing to me is not something that I like look forward to go to Hawaii. And there's probably people, listeners are like, come on, Laura, just drink the freaking Kool-Aid and go golfing. But I'm sure I will enjoy it. I'll have a couple of beers and I'll swing some clubs, but I want to be on the beach and I want to be eating ridiculous amounts of raw fish and all of that, reading right books. And, yeah.
Right on.
Taking selfies of myself washed up on shore, obviously.
So back to our topic. I've been doing a little bit of a purge, right? I've been kind of cleaning out a lot of just clutter in my office, but also in my inboxes. And so part of what I've done is found like drafts of emails that I started, and also just old articles that I saved for myself. And I remember reading this one a long time ago, and I saved it because I loved it. And I went back to it just this week, and I thought, you know, this is really sharp. So for context, there's this guy, his name is Dan Pierce. And for about 10 years or so, he was an active blogger under kind of the heading of Single Dad Laughing, I think was the title of it. He's recently retired as a blogger. He's focused primarily now on art. But he's just cool. I remember reading some of his stuff, and even just now kind of revisiting his main messages. He's just the kind of guy you want to be friends with. And so, but he was having to give advice to his sister who was about to get married. And this was on the heels of being divorced twice. And so this article is just sort of 16 things that he's suggesting. And I thought it might be a good context for us in terms of thinking about how to do it wrong. Cause I think if you know how to do it wrong, it opens the door to how to do it right. I've said many, many times that I can guarantee that a conversation is going to go poorly between Rebecca and I. And the way that I do that is I wait till she gets in the shower. Yeah. I go into the next room. I turn on the television, probably a football game. I go into the next room and I pour myself a very stiff drink. And I say something like, "Hey babe, can we talk about our finances right now?" And 100% that conversation is going to go poorly. So the alternative is to kind of reverse engineer it, right? You wait till she gets out of the shower. You say, "Hey, can I get 10 minutes of your time to go over the budget whenever you're ready?" And you sort of set yourself up for success. And I think, that makes a lot more sense to me when I understand how to do it wrong. And so that's the premise of this article that I found. And it was really about, you know, what should you, you know, what did he offer up based on his experience of having destroyed two relationships. So I thought we would pick a couple and just riff on them for a little bit.
Well, I think here's one that I like is don't stop trying to be attractive. And I had mentioned, I don't know, probably in one of our previous episodes.
Is anyone surprised that that's the one that Laura gravitated to?
Yeah. Well, I do. I just think it's so important. And I went through such a phase where you know what? This is something I had mentioned a while ago, and I don't know if it was on the podcast, but I had told my husband, I said, "You get to go through my closet and you get to pull three things from my closet that you hate, that I wear." And I get to do the same. I probably offered this up because there was like a pair of jeans that I wanted to throw out, but I just wanted to set the wheels in motion. And he pulled out my gray sweats, you know, like the typical holy gray sweats. And he pulled out also like this old nasty robe that I had been wearing. Truth be told, here's a silly story. For I would say maybe about 6 years of my husband and I's first 6 years of being married, I wore his old childhood robe. We had gone home to visit his mother and father, and in his closet, his old childhood closet, he had a robe. And the robe was meant for a 12-year-old boy, and it's a full-length robe. And his father had brought it back from, I think, Guatemala for him when he was traveling. And I fell in love with the robe, and it's an old terry cloth one. And I started wearing it. And of course, you know, it hit me like mid thigh. It was a shorty robe on me because it's meant for a 12-year-old boy. And it ended up being super threadbare after a while. And I still continued to wear it. And that was one of the things that he had gone through and gotten rid of. And I loved that activity of just going through, because we wear sometimes the most comfortable, nasty things in front of our spouse. And then the moment we walk out the door is when we start to slap on a little lipstick, straighten our hair. And and I do think that we should pay more attention to the way that we look when we are at home. So I'm more conscious now of what I wear when I'm home, and try and make sure that my loungy clothes are at least somewhat cute on me and attractive, but it takes effort. Anyway,
yeah, right on. My bar is I try to proactively not look like a slob. That's like how high my bar is when it comes to trying to be attractive. At 47, Rebecca's much more interested in me like being alive and healthy than like pretty.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind. I just recently, this is such a side note, met one of the most fit, in shape, 60-year-old men that I had ever met. And now my bar is so much higher. I think maybe Rebecca just needs to spend time with some really, really sexy, attractive 47-year-old men, and the bar will be just a touch higher for you.
Right on.
Just saying. Which one drew your attention?
Well, I think what I want to do is try and understand the consequence of stopping trying to be attractive. I understand so don't stop trying to be attractive, right? What's the consequence of that if you do? And I think to your point, it's almost like a lack of self-respect and respect for your partner. And it's hard, particularly when you don't have self-respect, to invite your partner to respect you, you know? Wow. And I don't think that's limited to your appearance, right? You can be unattractive on the inside too, right? If you just sort of, become grouchy and angry all the time, and essentially not enjoying the opportunity to be grateful about your life, it's hard for your partner to be grateful about being in your life. So that's one that I think my reflection on this idea of don't stop trying to be attractive.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember the one that I liked. It was, don't stop having fun together. I think that's a brilliant piece of advice. The point that I come back to, and I think this is happening over and over again in my practice right now, as things tend to do, right? Themes tend to pile up for me.
Yeah,
kind of like, what was that word? Crestfallen. It's sort of like once you see it once, like you can't stop seeing it. Or when you buy that car, and everybody has the same car as you. But to me, it's this idea that you must absolutely continue to play. It's not uncommon to say relationships take work. They do take work. That's very true. And you have to work on your relationship. But I think you also have to play. And it doesn't have to be like golf or tennis. It can literally be tag
or board game
in the kitchen or a board game.
Yeah.
So he had this part of this article that Pierce has written is this idea of, if I had to do it over, when he said, I'd make a rule with her that we'd never stay home 2 weekends in a row, which is just a way of saying getting out of here and getting into the world and getting into even discovery is a value for me. And I like that, you know.
Do you know what I did this weekend?
I don't know what you did this
pictures?
Weekend.
Oh, you don't? Oh, no. Okay. No. You obviously haven't been stalking me on social media.
That is true.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
I have a hard time. We travel so often, and usually that travel, it revolves around working. I teach and then I do workshops and then I'm speaking. And usually I try to make it on a weekend so that I'm not missing out on weekdays. So rarely are we ever home 2 weekends in a row. And it just so happened that we were going to be. And that was when I looked at my husband. I said, we should get the camper out. We need to go do some camping. And so we took our trailer that hasn't seen snow yet, and we took it up to the mountain, and we spent the night at the mountain in the parking lot for 2 nights in a row. And there was this overwhelming joy that came across my body and just like my head and my heart, everything, just driving up to the mountain, because it was the anticipation of fun and play with my family. And we were literally going 20 miles away from our house to the mountain, but it was just being trapped in a different environment where we're not distracted by work, where there's so much more opportunity to play. And I love that idea of not being home 2 weekends in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. How else do you play? I mean, I know that you have some fun examples about how your family plays, and I love it. It's just so simple. It's just playfulness.
I mean, we use music a lot. I mean, music is pretty common in our house. And we will use it intentionally to change the tone. Like if people are just like uptight or, you know, kind of stressed out, I'll just find some, you know, poppy artist, particularly one that we haven't heard in a while, and the family will go, oh, you know, like, and it sort of changes the whole tune. Mary, my younger daughter, and I are both kind of really into card games. So we play, I went through this phase where I was proactively seeking out games that only two people could play. So there's lots of games that 2 to 5 people can play, or 2 to 6 people, but like, what are some strictly 2-player games? And that was fun. It was fun because it was fun to like anticipate whether or not Rebecca and I would enjoy playing these games. I mean, some I could immediately rule out, and some would be like, let's try this. And in fact, we have a game that we regularly play in Cabo, that I'm looking forward to playing. It's not quite getting in a camper, but it's still the same thing. It's this anticipation of, I know we're going to be sitting there just throwing cards down and enjoying a different kind of environment. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I'm with you. We play a lot of card games, and it's kind of died off just a little bit, but it's more taking the time to not do other things. Like, it's almost like we can fill our time with work quite often, or just like wiping the counter down, all of that. And it's so hard to just focus on, I'm not going to do this. And it's so much easier for me to actually remove myself from the home, which is why I think play is so great. But it's almost like we should have these little triggers. For me, it's hard to play in the home because I'm distracted by work. And if I'm in the home, how can I establish these little visual cues of play around the house that remind me to play? And it could just be in the middle of the dining room table. We have our stack of playing cards or, I'm trying to think of like other ways that people play.
By the way, did you check out that deck that, Created with Love gave us? It's really, really cool. It's just like it's like the 52 dates deck or something. But Rebecca and I took it out last weekend and just kind of messed around with it a little bit. If you're struggling at all just to create any kind of traction in the area of play, that's at least an easy one.
The Created with Love. You're so right. Okay. Yeah. So was that our very last episode?
No, it was a couple. It was the date night episode. It was a couple ago, but
But our episode's coming out, I think, right as, so the Valentine's Day special is still on. Just so if somebody's just listening to this and they're like, oh yeah.
Yeah, this one won't be, this will be after Valentine's Day.
It'll be after Valentine's Day?
Yeah. Oh,
nuts. Okay, well, but maybe
that doesn't mean you can't invest in dating your wife or your husband.
That's so true.
So
and you can still get $5 off.
.com/MTR, I think. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
So okay,
what's another question?
But wait, let's go back to this. Yeah. What is the consequence of not playing?
Well, here's what I think. I think that when you play, you have a lot more humor with one another and a lot more. I would just say humor. And I think that humor is what gets us through some of the hardest times in our lives. Mm. And oftentimes we have to invest now in a relationship that's filled with humor and filled with play so that we can get through the unexpected times of the future that we aren't anticipating, the really rocky times, the tough moments where it's like, you know, we've been playing for the last several months, or we played this morning and I have this goodwill and humor toward my partner. And it's so much easier to get through that difficult conversation if you've played.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think?
I buy that for a dollar. The consequence in my mind is that you have to work that much harder to fill up the emotional bank account, right? That's a big sort of theme that we have to, I mean, I think play accelerates that process, right? You get kind of a more hearty investment in the emotional bank account when play and humor and laughter are present in the relationship. So the consequence is just that you have to work that much harder, and that's not a bad thing to do, to work. But it isn't, you don't get as much ROI, I think. ROI?
Mm.
Return on investment.
Yeah, return on investment. Yeah.
Let's do two more because I know I want to talk about this one, which is, well, there's two that I sort of disagree with, although I think we can have a hearty conversation about this. The one is don't fight in front of your children. What do you think?
Well,
don't argue
don't
in front
fight.
Of the kids. He
don't
says
argue.
That
they're.
Hold on. This is what he says. He says, there was never any argument that was so important or pressing that we couldn't wait to have it until the kids weren't there. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist or a super shrink to know why fighting in front of the kids is so dangerous and selfish. What is a dangerous and selfish way of doing things? That's not a bad, that's not a bad perspective, but I think I would reframe it just a little bit.
Yeah, I would too. My first stab at this is that oftentimes people equate arguing with fighting, right? Hmm. Arguing and fighting. Arguing to me insinuates that there's two people, two different points of view. And that is something that I think is incredibly important to have and to show your child that you can have a civil discussion with one another where you don't see eye to eye. And I do think we need to have those conversations in front of children. Fighting is something different. Mm-hmm. Fighting implies that you are having conflict in the wrong way, that you're critical of your partner, or maybe you're cursing, you're raising your voice. And no, if you don't know how to have a civil discussion where you have two opposing points of view, if you don't know how to do that, then don't do it in front of your kids. But if you can have a conversation and say, you know what, I don't see it that way, here's how I see it, then absolutely. But, the rule of thumb that I think a lot of people do is that they're in the middle of a minivan in traffic. Mom and dad start to have a disagreement. It kind of blows up in front of the kids. And then there's no sort of, I'm going to say resolve, because I know that you're going to.
You don't have to.
You're going to.
Oh, thank
okay,
you.
So there's,
thanks for teeing me up, but you don't have to do that.
I don't have to tee you up, but there's no repair. And that's what I think is missing, that if you're going to have these conversations in front of your kids and show them, model to them what it's like to have an opposing point of view, and maybe even model you losing your cool, then you sure as hell had better show them the full circle of what it looks like to repair with your partner. And that's where I think we're most people are missing out, is that they're having these disagreements in front of the kids, but they're not repairing in front of the kids.
Hmm. Yeah. So if I go back to my money question is, what's the consequence of arguing in front of the kids? The consequence is that they worry about you, right? And they worry about whether or not there's a secure attachment in their home. And I think they should worry about you, particularly if they're arguing or fighting in the way that you're describing. And I also think that if you're going to argue and even fight, it's really important as you noted, to model repair. Because the worst part of not arguing in front of the kids is that your kids don't learn how to argue. And they need to. They need to learn how to engage conflict respectfully, and they need to learn how to repair respectfully. But so I appreciate the nuance there, but don't argue in front of the kids.
So here's
I would just expand it as we did.
Yeah.
All right, and then you let's do one more,
I get to share one.
Yeah.
Did you have one that you wanted to talk about?
I know you had one that you wanted to talk about. It's number 10.
Okay. Is it? Hold on. Let me go back. No, I don't want to talk about that one.
Okay.
No.
That's fine. Number 10? What's number 10?
Okay. No. I will. It says don't poop in front of each other. I think that's bullshit. I really do. Hmm. But I can understand. I actually haven't read what he has to say about it, but I did just listen to a TED Talk, and I'm applying the knowledge that I gained from this TED Talk. But if pooping in front of each other means that you have a safe environment where you can be vulnerable with one another and you can just kind of let it all hang out, that's cool. In my household, we very much so have an open door policy, to the point where I've had contractors walking in. I'm like, oh, let me go ahead and close that door. Yeah. Esther Perel actually had just shared in her TED Talk, she was talking about this contrast and this balance that we need in relationships, that oftentimes there's this level of familiarity, which provides safety and security, pooping with the door open. Mm-hmm. And then there's this level of mystery and novelty. Mm-hmm. And that's where desire comes into play. And perhaps if your love life is lacking in desire, that might be an opportunity to close the door while you're pooping.
I think that's the argument he's making, is that because I would put this in the category of physical intimacy, right? It's a privilege that you have inside your marriage that even, for example, you and I don't have. Like, you and I aren't going to the bathroom with the door open.
No.
Because we don't share that kind of physical intimacy. But I think you do have that inside of your relationship. The question is whether or not you need to or should exercise it. And I think his argument is really about setting your partner up to see you in the best light. He literally says, third of all, there's literally no way to make pooping attractive. and when she does think of your naked body, she's not going to be thinking about it in a grunting, squatting position. So I understand the merits of that piece of it. And I still want to ask, like, what's the consequence of pooping with the bathroom door open? And I think it probably is exactly what you're saying. Like, there's no mystery. There's no, which I think is just cool to have in a marriage, not deception, but discovery, like the opportunity for discovery. And that has to come through mystery. And so,
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit of a side note, because I'm kind of on this frustrating. Here's what it's like to be in a relationship with a man who is so aware. So I start off frustrated, because I'm telling you, this is real ongoing struggle that I'm going through. As we're getting ready to leave on this vacation, husband is actively planning our vacation by going on mini golf adventures. And I share with him via text, just, you know, how I'm trying to get over this. I understand it's his vacation too. I'm frustrated. And he said, what part of this is frustrating you? Is it the amount of time taken away from you? Is it the money? I can see how this can be frustrating. I just want to understand your frustration. Go ahead and share with me. And he is genuinely, like, sitting there at the car wash, texting this to me, being the most amazing husband. But I just wanted to pull that full circle so that you can see what conflict looks like in real time. And I recognize, by the way, that texting your partner with your frustrations is not usually the best case scenario, but it was on my mind, and I was having to tell him that I was throwing him under the bus on the podcast.
Love it.
Via text. But yeah. I wanted everyone to see just how amazing it is. So if you're wondering what my frustration is, we're doing real life therapy right here. I think it's the time away. Personally.
Right on.
Yeah.
And that's legit that you, I mean, it's cool that you want that, and it's legit that it's important to you. And ideally he somehow kind of completes the transaction, right? That he gives back to you the time that he's taking away somehow.
Some sort of compromise.
Well, listen, so you leave tomorrow. Just the three of you going?
No. So it's the three of us and then my mother and father-in-law. So we're all traveling together, staying in two separate hotel rooms at the same resort. We're using all the points. This is what happens when you travel for work, is you get to use it all on points to go on vacation, which is great.
That's cool. Your mother-in-law thinks I'm hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, you keep saying that, but she hasn't said that recently. You're just going on old knowledge.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
I think I'm one of her favorite people.
You're one of my favorite people.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, have a great trip. I'm going to have a great trip.
Thank you.
And just again, for the record, my family doesn't travel that often at all. And I don't, it's not like I'm jetting off all over the world all the time. I'm a homebody and I'm just excited about opportunities that are arising. So,
yeah, take some pictures in your little swimmer shorts for me.
Oh, I don't think I'm taking those, but I'm taking my board shorts.
Oh, there we go.
My board shorts and my dad bod. I gotta go.
All right. Okay. Adios.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Hey, exciting news. Zach's new book, The Marriage Therapy Journal, is available for purchase on February 29th. It's Leap Day. So if you want to check it out, you can go to the website, marriagetherapyjournal.com, or you can find it on amazon.com. I also have a favor to ask you. If you're not going to buy his book, would you give us a review? It's not easy to do. You actually have to go to iTunes to give us a review, but we would love, love, love to stack as many positive reviews as possible. That's how people find really great new podcasts and episodes, and we want to promote this one as much as possible. So thank you so much for all of your time and energy making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.